translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. My dear friend, if you are indeed attached to your worldly friends, do not look at the smiling face of Lord Govinda as he stands on the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat. Casting sidelong glances, he places his flute to his lips, which seem like newly blossomed twigs. His transcendental body, bending in three places, appears very bright in the moonlight. Purport. This is a verse quoted from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.3.9 in connection with practical devotional service. Generally, people in their conditioned life engage in the pleasure of society, friendship, and love. This so-called love is lust, not love. But people are satisfied with such a false understanding of love. Vidyapati, a great learned poet of Mithila, has said that the pleasure derived from friendship, society, and family life in the material world is like a drop of water, but our hearts desire pleasure like an ocean. Thus, the heart is compared to a desert of material existence that requires the water of an ocean of pleasure to satisfy its dryness. If there is a drop of water in the desert, one may indeed say that this is water, but such a minute quantity of water has no value. Similarly, in the material world, no one is satisfied in the dealings of so-called society, friendship, and love. Therefore, if one wants to derive real pleasure within his heart, he must seek the lotus feet of Lord Govinda. In this verse, Sri Rupa Goswami indicates that if one wants to be satisfied in the pleasure of society, friendship, and love, he need not seek shelter at the lotus feet of Govinda. For if one takes shelter under his lotus feet, he will forget that minute quantity of so-called pleasure. One who is not satisfied with that so-called pleasure may seek the lotus feet of Govinda, who stands on the shore of the Jamuna at Keshi Tirtha or Keshi Ghat in Vrindavan and attracts all the gopis to his transcendental loving service. Omagyanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kipasindu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, Kaviraj Goswami says, Shruyatam, Shruyatam, Nityam, Giyatam, Giyatam, Muda, Chintyatam, Chintyatam, Bhaktas, Chaitanya, Charitamritam. That one should always hear, Shruyatam, Shruyatam, Nityam, Giyatam, Giyatam, one should always sing, Chintyatam, Chintyatam, Bhaktas, and one should always think, Chaitanya Charitamritam, about the wonderful verses and the wonderful interactions and the wonderful philosophy that is contained within the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Of course, we know when Prabhupada was coming to America and he was on the Jaladuta and he underwent severe difficulty. He had two heart attacks. He was coming up to 70 years old. And after passing the Cape of Good Hope, the waters were very rough, and Prabhupada was in very bad health, and he was feeling seasickness. And Prabhupada said, in this condition, I'm reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I'm finding great solace. So diving into the words of Chaitanya Charitamrita are a wonderful opportunity to again realign our vision and understand what the purpose of our life is and what we need to do to achieve that purpose. These verses of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Lila are the Mangalacharan of the entire literature. If we look at the progression of Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is very interesting. In the first 13 or 14 chapters, we're introduced to the different tattvas that are there. The tattva of Lord Chaitanya, the tattva of Nityanand Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, the Panchatattva themselves as a unit. And in this way, the first 14 chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are cementing within our minds the understanding that Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So once we have that knowledge and we have that appreciation, then we move on towards the end of Adi Lila where Lord Chaitanya advents. And in Lord Chaitanya's youth, he performs many, many divine miracles which now practically convince us that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then towards the end of the Adi Lila, in the final chapter, in the 17th chapter, we find that Lord Chaitanya then goes to Gaya and he comes back as an intoxicated devotee of Krishna. And now then we move on to the next stage of Chaitanya Charitam where Lord Chaitanya now manifests his mission and purpose in this world, which is to spread Krishna consciousness and love of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So in the beginning of Madhya Lila, Lord Chaitanya goes to Jagannath Puri and then he travels throughout South India and he just affects people. Whoever he comes in contact with becomes captivated, infected by Krishna consciousness. It said that someone would come to meet Lord Chaitanya and they would become so infused with love of God, and then they would go away to their village. And then everyone there who would come into contact with that person would also become infused with love of God. And like this, Krishna prema was spreading throughout the country. So now Lord Chaitanya in the beginning of the Madhya Lila and towards the middle of the Madhya Lila is establishing the transcendental ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. We have the Rath Yatras at Jagannath Puri. And in this way, so much ecstasy is being manifested. Then what happens is towards the end of the Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grounds the whole movement by meeting Rupa and Sanatan. And four or five chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita deal with philosophy, building a foundation, an understanding that this transcendental ecstasy of Krishna consciousness is not just something sentimental, but it has actually a very deep grounding and a deep foundation in Vaishnava Siddhanta and Vaishnava philosophy. So then the teachings are there at the end of Madhya Lila. And then at the beginning of the Antya Lila, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? He goes to Jagannath Puri. And there he has many pastimes. He has pastimes with Chota Haridas. He has pastimes with Jagadananda Pandit. He has pastimes with Sanatan Goswami. And in these beginning chapters of Antya Lila, what Lord Chaitanya is introducing is culture. He's teaching us how we should interact with each other, how we should be very careful about how we carry ourselves, how we speak, and how we act in this world. And then we know towards the end of the Antya Lila, Lord Chaitanya then goes into transcendental ecstasy in the Gambhira, and completely relishes his relationship with Krishna as a devotee. So it's very interesting if you see the progression of Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the beginning, we're getting the grounding of the philosophy to understand Lord Chaitanya's divinity. Then second, what happens is we experience the divinity of Lord Chaitanya through miracles performed. Then what happens after that, the Lord manifests his mission and then infuses the entire world with love of God. Then what happens after that? There's grounding. Okay, there's a lot of ecstasy, but we ground it now with philosophy. And then what happens after that? Okay, there's ecstasy, we've grounded it with philosophy, but we also need culture. And therefore, Antilila gives culture. And then the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita ends with the culmination of everyone's life, which is to attain prayojan, love of God. So I remember Indradyumna Maharaj once said that everything we do in Krishna consciousness, all the difficult activities that we perform, all the austerities that we go through, are just so that one day maybe we can sit in one corner and chant one name of Krishna and a teardrop will flow from our eyes in love of Krishna. So this is actually the goal of what we're trying to do, to attain this very deep love for Krishna. In this verse, what's being explained is that the love of this world is like a drop of water in a desert. Prabhupada often says, if you're in a desert and you're so thirsty and someone gives you a drop of water, then far from mitigating your thirst, all it does is it makes your thirst grow even bigger. So the love that we're looking for in this world, we're often frustrated in so many ways. They have a saying in this world, smiling faces, crying hearts. When you go out into the world, people are smiling, but it can be very artificial. Because in their hearts, they're crying, they're yearning for something more, but they can't find that love because they're looking in the wrong places. And therefore, if we want to find this real love, then we have to go to the source of love. We're looking for the right thing, but people are looking in the wrong places. And therefore, it's said in this verse that one should go and look at Govinda. Govinda is standing on the shores of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat, and he's playing his flute. And once one sees that Govinda playing his flute, one forgets the material relationships, the material sources of pleasure that so captivated them before their spiritual life. And in that way, each deity in Vrindavan is actually signifying something. In the first chapter of the Adi Lila, we have the three main deities of Vrindavan. And each of those deities are establishing a different aspect of spiritual life. In the beginning, we have Madan Mohan. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Everyone's been to the Madan Mohan temple. And in the beginning we have Madan Mohan. And it said that Madan Mohan is giving Sambandha. So therefore the prayer to Madan Mohan is Jayatam Suratur Pango Mamamanda Matergati Matsaravasva Padam Bojo Radha Madana Mohano. That I am lame, I am ill advised. But the lotus feet of Radha Madan Mohan are my only shelter. So therefore, by praying to Radha Madan Mohan, we are developing a strong foundation in Sambandha Gyan and a strong foundation in our relationship with Krishna. Then it said, the second deity is Govinda, explained here. Divyad Vrinda Aranya Kalpadrumado Srimad Ratna Gara Simhasana Sto Shri Shri Radha Shri Lagovinda Devo Preshtali Bi Sevyamano Smarami. That Govinda is being worshipped, he's sitting under a throne, Ratna Simhasana, and he's being worshipped by all his devotees. And one who approaches Govinda becomes very, very firmly established in Abhideya, which means the practice of spiritual life. And therefore, here it said that if you want to forget your material pleasures and become completely absorbed in the family of Krishna, then worship Govinda. Because Govinda is very much strengthening our abhideya, or our practice of Krishna consciousness. And then finally it said that Gopinath, Radha Gopinath, is establishing Prayojan, or the love of God. Therefore it said, Sriman Rasa Rasadambi Vamshi Vatatata Stita Karshan Venu Svaner Gopi Gopinathaya Shriye Stunaha. That Gopinath is at Vamshivat, and he's playing his flute, and when he plays his flute, all the gopis are coming to enjoy with him and enjoy loving interactions and loving pastimes. So therefore, Hare Krishna. So therefore, each deity of Vrindavan is strengthening a different aspect of our spirituality. And in this verse, Govinda is stressed, that we have to worship Govinda in order to attain real love that we're looking for. Love in this world is frustrating. When we look for love in this world, or we look for happiness in this world, one of three things will happen. In the first case scenario, we will look for happiness or love in this world and we will just not be able to get it. Somehow or other, it's just elusive. The situation we want, the person we want, the things we want, we just can't get it, no matter how hard we try. Therefore, frustration. In the second case scenario, one may look for love, happiness in these different things of the world, and one obtains those things. But once one obtains those things, one realizes, actually, there was nothing really of value here. And therefore, frustration. And in the third case scenario, one will obtain those things, those objects of love, those objects of desire, and they will actually enjoy them. But then after some time, the taste will wear away. And therefore, frustration. And therefore, the devotee, after some time, it's not that their desires are leaving them. Even one practicing Krishna consciousness for many, many years will still have many material desires, possibly within them. But what is happening then is that the devotee, after some time, has no more faith in material desires. Material desires are coming, but as one advances, one doesn't any longer have any faith in these material desires. In other words, those ideas come into the head, and then one thinks, I've seen it all before. I've tried it all before. I've tested it all out before, and it didn't work. So why will it work now? And therefore, the desires come, and the devotee just lets it go and doesn't act on it. And therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, Apuryamanam achala pratistam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sharve shashantim apnoti nakama kami. Krishna says that the consciousness is like an ocean. The consciousness of the self-realized soul is like an ocean. And many, many rivers are entering into that ocean. But no matter how many rivers come into the ocean, does the ocean ever overflow? Never. Because the ocean is so full in itself. So similarly, the consciousness of a great soul is so full with Krishna consciousness that so many desires may be coming in, but they are never affected by it. And therefore, shashantim apnoti nakama kami. That person attains peace. Nakama kami, not the person who, whenever a desire comes, they act on it. So like this, we gradually, through our experiences in the world, becoming completely frustrated that friendship, love, society in this world, there's nothing there. It's empty. It will not satisfy me, no matter how I try. I can try in this way, or this way, or this way, but after some time, one is putting up his hands and saying, I've tried it all. There's nothing out there. But of course, to simply be frustrated with friendship, love, and society of this world is not enough. Because the soul is by nature anandamoya bhashat, seeking friendship, love, and society. Therefore, one cannot stay in a situation where they're simply frustrated with the material world, but they have to actually go on to experience something positive. And the positive is the interactions of the spiritual world, the interactions that we can have with devotees which are on the spiritual level. If one does not attain this happiness of the spiritual world, and one is completely frustrated with the happiness of the material world, then one will just be in between. They call it no man's land. And in that in-between situation, one will never feel satisfied, happy, or properly situated in their life. Therefore, for any devotee, generally we can say they have left material life behind. Of course, Shri Prabhu always says that to me, that they say when you join the Krishna consciousness movement, it's like joining the mafia. You cannot leave because you just know too much. Right? So once you've done it, once you've read this philosophy, once you've tasted something, you cannot go back to normal. You may try, but it will never quite be the same. Because you know too much. Even while you're doing it, you're just thinking, this is a dead end route. This isn't going anywhere. So for that person who's become frustrated, they must try to embrace the spiritual happiness that is available in spiritual life. And of course, we're looking for that spiritual happiness, but we're struggling on our path. It's very difficult. As Kaviraj Goswami says, Durgame patimendasya skalat pada gater muhu svakripa yastidanena svantastena gadabrita. He says, my path is very difficult and I'm slipping again and again. But the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas is holding me up and helping me to continue on my journey. So we come to spiritual life and we're looking for this happiness, we're looking for this love for Krishna, but it's very difficult, it's elusive. And therefore, Rupa Goswami says, patience, enthusiasm, and determination. We can read in a verse that is very easy. Just look at Govinda. You'll forget about the material happiness and you're just becoming completely in love with him. That's what the verse says, basically. And it sounds easy on paper. But we know in practice it's much more difficult. And therefore, Rupa Goswami, knowing this, said, patience, enthusiasm, and determination. An incredible greed for spiritual life and an incredible greed that I must attain this happiness, that must be there. But at the same time, one must have patience. It's said that if you have patience, but you don't have enthusiasm, then you're in the mode of ignorance. You're just waiting and waiting and waiting, but there's no positive thrust to go forward, therefore that's the mode of ignorance. It said that if one has enthusiasm, but one doesn't have patience, then that's the mode of passion. You want it, you want it, you want it, but you don't want to wait. Therefore, it said that one, when one has patience and enthusiasm, then it's the mode of goodness. And devotional service in the mode of goodness will bring the desired result. And therefore, in spiritual life, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to gradually move towards Krishna, having great enthusiasm in our spiritual life, but at the same time grounding that enthusiasm with a great patience and a great understanding that it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take quite some time. So therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj used to say, you've given so many lives to Maya, now just give one life to Krishna. And in one sense we think, a whole lifetime in Krishna consciousness. And you can see it like that, or you can see it the other way around, that so many lives I've given to Maya, now just one for Krishna. So it depends how you want to see it. But that is what the acharyas are saying. That if we practice this process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness is a science. And therefore, a science means it will work if you perform it according to the prescribed ways and means by which it's given. Then it will work. And therefore, in our lives, if it's not working, then we have to question, am I really following it properly? And therefore, it requires some self-analysis. And therefore, the devotee is always very introspective and always questioning, I'm in this process, I'm chanting, I'm reading, I'm associating with the Vaishnavas, but if it's not quite happening for me, if I'm not quite experiencing this taste, could there be something within me, or could there be something I'm doing which isn't quite right? And therefore, aside from the ideal that is given in this verse, that as soon as you look at Govinda, it's all over. That's the ideal. The reality is that we have to practice properly, and then we will actually be able to experience what's in this verse. I can say some more things, but I'd just like to open it up and see if there's any questions or feedback, and then we can have maybe more of a discussion. Yeah, Prema.